Holy Gospel according to the Blessed Apostle John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jewish people. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the dominion of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to Jesus, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the dominion of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from nor where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to Jesus, How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. For I have told you about earthly things, and you do not believe. How can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that God gave the Son, the only begotten, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have life eternal. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The assigned passage of the Gospel of John this morning is probably the most familiar passage in Scripture in the entire Christian world. Everybody knows John 3:16. There used to be a guy at National Football League games, perhaps elsewhere, who held up a sign that said simply, "John 3:16. He just assumed that everyone would know what those words were. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." But these beloved words, these comforting words, these healing words are much more than just a sign, more than just a poster, more than just a billboard, more than just a slogan. Our Father in God, Dr. Martin Luther, called them the gospel in miniature, the whole gospel in one tiny verse. My own Father in God, Count Zinzendorf, said, "Everything we need to know can be written on half a sheet of paper, half a sheet of note paper," he said. It is enough to know just these words, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life." And then verse 17, of course, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Jesus spoke these familiar words to a visitor, to Nicodemus, who came at midnight. Nicodemus sneaked around the corner under the cover of darkness to visit Jesus. Nicodemus doesn't want to be espied. Nicodemus doesn't want to be discovered, because Nicodemus is a big cheese. Nicodemus is a member of the Sanhedrin, one of the leaders, religious leaders of the people of Judea, the most important people, and indeed Jesus' most vocal opponents. And Nicodemus is afraid. Nicodemus is afraid for his wealth. He's afraid for his position. But he still yearns in his heart to talk to Jesus and to hear the wonderful words of life. It's sad, really. Nicodemus doesn't have the courage to come openly. Nicodemus is afraid of what people will think. It is a tragedy at midnight. But Jesus accepts Nicodemus. And it is here that we first hear the words, "You must be born again." We hear in the lesson today how Jesus makes that new birth possible. Finally, we hear the way to the new birth, by water and the word, by word and sacrament. Nicodemus has watched Jesus, Nicodemus has listened to Jesus, and Nicodemus thinks, hey, maybe this guy really is the promised one. Maybe he really is the anointed one, the Messiah. And Jesus answers Nicodemus' unspoken question, not with a yes, but he tells Nicodemus how he may become part of God's family. You must be born again. Jesus helps Nicodemus to see what this dominion of God is like, that this sovereignty of God is not a place, it's not a locality, that it is not something to be grasped with the mind or with the hand, but only with the heart and with the spirit. God reveals his sovereign power in an event. God reveals his sovereign power in the happening of the will of God in Jesus Christ. And this can only happen to us if we gain a new perspective, if we start over, if we are born again. With this new birth, the kingdom of God becomes real in the life of the individual. Through this new birth, the individual enters into the dominion of God in Christ Jesus. Now, these are hard words for an old man. Like Nicodemus would be a hard word for me too. It's a hard word for an old man. Nicodemus doesn't understand. Nicodemus misses the point. And so many people choose to misunderstand here, choose to miss the point about the new birth. They try to make the new birth into something completely different, into a series of steps to be followed, or into some kind of emotional firestorm. So many miss the point. The new birth doesn't depend on our frail human thinking. The new birth doesn't depend on our fallen, sinful humanity. The new birth doesn't depend on our thoughts or even our emotions. The new birth depends on God alone and on God's sovereign promise. Jesus clarifies what he means. Jesus focuses Nicodemus' eyes on Jesus himself. The new birth, becoming a member of God's family, becoming a new creation, is to become alive in Christ Jesus. God's gift of life is the earthly manifestation of that heavenly truth, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus comes to reveal these truths. Jesus comes ultimately to be these truths. God loves the world so much that God comes into the world in Jesus to lead the world home to eternity with God. Heaven and earth are joined in Christ Jesus, first at the manger and then at the cross. God loves the world, the whole world. There are no exceptions. Every man, woman, and child in the world, God loves them. There are no exceptions. God loves everybody. This is the good news. This holy season of Lent gives us a good time to re-embrace this truth of the new life in Christ Jesus, to walk again with our Savior as he goes to Jerusalem, to go with our Savior on the way of the cross, to stand with the Blessed Virgin, with the beloved disciple, with Mary Magdalene at the foot of the cross, to go with the holy women and Peter and John to the empty tomb, and along this journey to remember again and again, God loves the whole world. God loves me. God loves us so much that God comes to us in Christ Jesus. God meets us in word and in sacrament. The risen Lord gives us new birth. The risen Lord feeds us for our journey with his body and blood. The risen Lord will lead us home. And with Nicodemus, we ask, how can this be? How does God do it? How does it happen? So often, God reaches out to his people in ordinary means, in little things, not in the burning bush, not in the pillar of fire, not in the whirlwind, but God speaks to us as God spoke to Elijah in a still, small voice. And the best example of this is the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him may not perish but have everlasting life. God becomes a human being in Jesus Christ. God comes to humanity in the baby in the manger. And when that baby grows up, he reveals God's love and power to us as the man weeping and struggling, sweating blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. God comes to humanity most clearly when that man dies on the cross of Calvary, a common gallows, dies there like a common criminal, exposed to the world in order to bring the world the gift of life. Now, when we think of God's acting, we like to think of something dramatic, of God opening up the Red Sea and leading Israel through on the dry ground, or talking to Moses through the burning bush. We like to think of something dramatic. But for most of us, God doesn't talk to us that way. Now, God can, and God often does act in dramatic ways that take our breath away. But for most of us, God is not in the whirlwind. God is not in the earthquake, but in the still, small voice. We hear God speak in God's holy word. We hear him speak through the law. We hear God speak through the gospel. No trumpets, no angels, no thunder, just simple, everyday words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. Simple words, plain words, but there are no words that are more powerful. And water. Water, plain old water, right out of the tap. And yet when we use water at God's command, together with God's promise, we rise from that water as newborn children of God. Not because of the water, not because of any virtue in the water, but because God says so. We come to the altar and we eat. We come to the altar and eat nothing fancy, just bread and wine, just regular bread and wine. But again, there's that promise from God, the promise of God. When we come to the altar, the risen Lord meets us here and feeds us with himself, with his broken body and his spilled blood. God comes to us in the gospel. God comes to us in the water. God comes to us in the bread and the wine. What could be more ordinary? The world wants flash. The world wants fireworks. But God meets us in our everyday lives. Isaiah reminds us that God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are so high above our own. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. God takes something ordinary. God takes something ordinary and fills it with his love and power. God shows us how much he loves us by becoming one of us. This same God promises to meet us in the ordinary, to meet us in the gospel, to meet us in the water, to meet us in the bread and in the wine. Now, very few of us will ever hear God speak from a burning bush. Very few of us will ever see the Red Sea open up before us. We will seldom see the bright-winged seraph with the flaming sword, but God does promise to meet us here. God promises to meet us here. He promises to come to us in word and in sacrament. This is the promise. This is how God chooses to reach out to us. Not in the whirlwind, not with the earthquake, not in the fire, but in the still, small voice. God promises to meet us through these ordinary things by the power of the Spirit of God. Now, we may look in vain for a burning bush. We may look in vain for a pillar of fire, but we are assured that God, the God who loves us so much, will meet us here in the gospel, that he will meet us here in holy baptism, that he will meet us here in his holy supper. Glory be to Jesus, forever and forever. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, to his Son, our Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen.